What up, guys? This is Tony Trim. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of The Handsome Rambler. Episode number 50 with our good friends Al Jackson and Kevin Bozeman. We recorded this one a little while back while we were touring through the Midwest. And it's a very special episode. It's number 50. We did it. We knocked out 50. Anyways, Hannibal's got some shows coming up. I'll be joining him. First one will be in St. Charles, Illinois on March 18th at the Arcata Theater. March 26th in Little Rock, Arkansas at Revolution Music Room. March 27th in Memphis, Tennessee at Minglewood Hall. And then we got five shows in Nashville at Zany's. That's from March 29th through March 31st. Then April 15th, we'll be in Portland, Oregon at the Keller Auditorium. May 10th, we'll be in Boise, Idaho at the Knitting Factory Concert House. May 11th at Spokane. What is it, Spokane or Spokane? Whatever, Spokane, Washington, at the Knitting Factory there. And then May 17th in Port Chester, New York, at the Capitol Theater. May 18th in Brooklyn, at Brooklyn Academy of Music's Opera House. And May 19th in Philly, at the Merriam Theater. So you can get tickets at HannibalBurris.com/calendar. We'll just go to HannibalBurris.com. I'm sure you could figure that out on how to get tickets. I'll see you guys there. Enjoy the show.
Starting the show. That's how it's going. That's how it go. Gotta
start up the show.
Gotta start up the show.
Another one. We're still doing it. Another episode. Welcome to another episode of Handsome Rambler. I'm your host, Hannibal Burris.
And I'm your co-host, Tony Trail.
We got two guests and friends of ours in the show. Kevin Bozeman to my direct left.
Yes.
Al Jackson to the left of Kevin Bozeman.
Hey, yo.
What's up, yo?
Dude, life is good, man.
Yo, man, day drinking is the best.
It's the best because when you get older, the nightlife eventually pushes you out because you like too old to be in certain spots. But right. Day drinking, that's when the grown folks is out, like from 4 to 7.
Day drinking. You is where you build character.
Yeah, I'm with it.
Build character.
Character.
How
character.
So?
Because, dude, when you day drink, you got to know stuff about yourself. You got to know things about who you are because you will be isolated. Sometimes you will have hours where you just by yourself, and you got to be cool with that. That's a character builder. Most people that don't have character always have to be around people because they have no character. They have no life, no personality. So they always have to be around people, which is why they're going out clubbing all the time and it's really loud. But day drinking, it's just you in a bar with last night's episode of SportsCenter running and there's just nobody talking to you and you just drinking and you cool with that because you have character.
Character.
This podcast has evolved since I've last done it.
Yeah, things are a little bit different. Yeah.
He's a little different.
It's like when you had a girlfriend and then she moved to Portland and you ain't seen her in 4 years and she come back and she like hippied out and just different and like she a vegan now and y'all used to do coke together. You like, oh my god. What's
going on? She changed her name to Pottery.
Yeah, she's got a weird name.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Yeah, it's a little different.
This definitely has evolved.
Yeah, we do some different things.
Put it back. Put what back?
He said, for the better.
I thought you said, put it back.
Put it back. Bring it back, yo.
Bring that shit back. Hey, okay. DJ Tony Tramp, bring that shit back. Oh.
We in Iowa, not Ohio, Iowa, trying not to have some corn. A cornucopia. Cornucopia, I'm scoping ya. It's Sunday afternoon up in the Midwest. I got a t-shirt on my chest. I used to watch a lot of wrestling. That didn't rhyme with the shit. I'm a mess. What? Alright, alright. Enough. Oh.
Okay, I was about to get real.
I saw you pick that shit up a little bit.
You want?
That's that beat.
That's that B-boy beat.
That's that beat. You can rap basic. You can rap basic as fuck on there. You can get like an 80s flow. I went over to the street. You know what it is. 34 and drunk. I ain't got no kids. And none of that. No kids that I know of, shit. Cause if I had some kids, that bitch would let me know that shit. Kids. All the kids I got is on my laptop keys.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's nothing.
Shout outs to Moog for all those great noises.
Shout out to Moog. And like HB, you said something you're talking about in Bose. I don't know how you feel about this. HB just mentioned wrestling. And I remember being a little kid and growing up and watching wrestling. That was like the first time. I didn't have a word for racism, but I would be watching and I'd be like, this isn't right. But I didn't have the words for it. Like with like Kamala, the Ugandan giant.
Yeah.
But like you know it's racist, but like you're too young to like put that thought together. Just like it feel like when you see, you'd be like, that doesn't make me feel good.
It was a lot of, WWE made a lot of strong choices with the characters.
Are you talking about the Junkyard Dog with the dog collar around his neck?
Junkyard Dog.
Or we could be talking about Virgil, who was a slave to Ted DiBiase.
Or we could be talking about Yokozuna, who was just a big sumo wrestler. Or we could talk about the Iron Sheik.
Jesus Christ.
We could talk about his rival, Sergeant Slaughter.
Yeah,
I forgot about Sergeant Slaughter. He made a crossover in the G.I. Joe, remember?
He did. I had the action figure.
Did he start in G.I. Joe?
I think he was originally G.I. Joe, and then they took that character.
Wow.
What about the two Australian twins? Who were they? Oi! Oi! And they would just run around throwing their arms up.
The Bushwhackers.
Yeah, dude.
There's a lot of stuff going on.
They were hillbillies, right?
They were probably the Bogans.
The Bogans. Holy shit. Yeah, which we found out, what city we were in where we found out that Bogans is like a slur?
That's Australia.
Oh, I was in Australia. I was talking to our driver, and she was like, yeah, there's a lot of Bogans out there. I was like, what the fuck is a Bogan? She's like, it's an Australian hillbilly.
And then the women's were called like Shirleys or something, right?
Is that a demeaning term?
Yeah, it was Bogans and Shirleys or something. It wasn't Shirley, but it was something like that.
That's how we should start doing it. We should adopt foreign, like, slang, foreign racist hurtful shit and bring it here. Get out of here, you Shirley.
Yeah.
Goddamn Bogan.
I feel like that would make you madder if somebody called you that because you know it was bad and you didn't know the definition.
It doesn't matter what you say. It's how you say it, really, mostly.
Oh, you know, one of my guys, he said in high school, he said the racist people would call black people Reagans because Reagan backward is
Nagin.
What is it backward?
Reagans.
Nagin.
So they'd call them Reagans.
Niggers.
I know, but that doesn't spell nigger backwards.
Hey, man.
It's a weird pronunciation of
if
it.
If you have a good imagination, if you can expand.
Why don't you just call them Riggins?
Why don't you just call them Ron and Nancy's?
Because John Riggins is the epitome. He's the only white running back in a Hall of Fame, if I'm correct. So besides Bronco Nagurski. So he's the only current in the recent times. So you can't call someone an icon and mean it to be hurtful.
Wait, are you talking about Riggins from Friday Night Lights?
Talking about John Riggins from the Washington Redskins. Oh. If you a white racist dude, you're not going to call a black dude a Riggin, because John Riggins represents everything that you stand for. And I'm not saying that Riggins is a racist dude, but Riggins is like the American hero. I said
Reagan, as in Ronald Reagan.
No, but Al said, why don't you just call him Riggins?
Oh.
And okay. I was saying that's why you can't call him Riggins, because John Riggins is the fucking dude. If you a white dude that grew up, you like 60 years old, John Riggins is your fucking hero.
Is Mike Allstott in the Hall of Fame?
No.
He should be.
Should he be?
He bald.
He's not a Hall of Famer.
He bald for like 7 or 8 years.
2 years.
Him and Warwick Dunn, they did it.
You can't. Yo, man, I like the way.
Shout out to Tampa.
I like the way you cleared out that path for me so Warwick Dunn could get that 4.1 yard per carry. Pretty dope. Yep.
So, Al, man, you've been in Denver this year.
Yeah, bro. I moved to Denver from L.A. Obviously, I got a job hosting a TV show there. And, bro, I think...
What's it called?
It's called Daily Blast Live. Look at that. Thank you for letting me plug that. You can watch it every day. We're in 39 markets and on YouTube every day. But, like, honestly, man, I didn't realize, and I was telling you this yesterday in the truck, I didn't realize how much I needed that, man. I've been in New York, L.A., and Miami the last 20 years. And, bro, sometimes, like, you just need to chill out. I just get up in the morning. I make coffee. I look at the mountains before my day starts every day.
What time? Yeah. What time does the show?
We go live from 12 to 3 every day.
Yeah.
It's a TV show that's 3 hours long?
It's we do the same hour over, and it's not over and over again, but we have to reset for separate markets because different time zones. So every show is like a new show for a new time zone. Some cities we're on for an hour, some cities we're on for half an hour. Right now we're starting at 39 markets. Show's doing real fucking good. Thank y'all for anybody listening and supporting. Please keep that up. But yeah, man, I didn't know, Hannibal, I needed a schedule, dog.
Yeah.
I've been like you know how like you pull like a wild cat into a house that's just been outside for like 10 years. And then he's like, wait a second, my meals are regular now? Like, the cat box is still there and there's nothing chasing me. I'm like, oh shit, I got a schedule. I'm a square. I get a paycheck cut from a payroll. It's in there every Thursday. And I'm like, man, I have a job now and I'm not mad at it, dog.
Structure.
And you genuinely seem happy.
Dude, I'm happy. I lost a bunch of weight, man. It's like, yeah. I broke up my boyfriend or some shit.
And you're smoking legal marijuana.
Smoking legal. And it's recreational, which is even different than L.A., where at least, you know, every year I would have to go take a fake, you know, doctor visit or something. Like, you just walk in there and buy it. And I'll tell you this. My marijuana, the guy that's at my marijuana store is the most knowledgeable human being on any subject. He's like, he knows more about weed than anybody knows about anything. You could walk in there and be like, dude, I'm having headaches. And, you know, when I try and read, he's like, dude, here's why you, bro, this dude knows everything about
weed. So he could tell you not only what to do, but why you should do it.
Yeah, and you just tell him, like, what you want to do. You could walk in and be like, hey, man, I'm Hannibal, man. I'm trying to learn how to play guitar on YouTube, and I want to be a little high, but I still want to be focused on the keys. Oh, take this. We're at the point with drugs where, like, people turn street drugs into medicinal drugs that help you do shit.
Yeah, what happens with legalization, because with the percentages of CBD versus THC, that makes a big difference. Mm-hmm. Strains, I don't give a fuck. Like, when they say indica sativa, I don't give a fuck. But when they show you the percentages of THC versus CBD, that makes a big difference.
Which is why the states need the red light district. Red light district. Come on, y'all, get with it. This red light district. People got money. People be funny when they got that money. They dropping on hoes. They dropping on clothes. Come on, y'all, let's bring back Afro's red light district. Red light.
Hannibal.
Yeah.
Thoughts on a red light district. Could it work if every major city had a red light district?
Absolutely.
Think, Tony. I mean, there'd be some looseness down there. It wouldn't just be smooth sailing.
Whenever something happens and it's when it's first brought out, it's going to be a surge, but then it's going to mellow out. That first year or two is going to be off the charts craziness, but then it's going to mellow out and just be a part of the community. Remember, drinking used to be 18 and over, and then it turned to 21 and over, but like it mellowed out. Like, you know what I'm saying? It was like, oh shit.
But Amsterdam got rid of their red light district, though.
Did they?
Yeah, dude. Amsterdam is like, nigga, you might as well go to Goddamn Vermont.
Yeah, they started tightening up their weed laws too.
You notice like no one goes to Amsterdam anymore. You never remember like 10 years ago, be like, oh, I went to Amsterdam. Like,
I've been there.
Ain't nobody been in Amsterdam. Unless you just want to go see the countryside and have some Heineken.
Wow.
Yeah, that shit's gone.
So what would be your anti-red light district? What give me a reason why?
I'm thinking property value and crime. Because there's going to be, even though it's legal, there's going to be some illegal sex trafficking. And as soon as they bust some ring with some underage girls there, like, it's going to be too much.
Right. Yeah, it would definitely be a interesting transitional phase. I think, as a hypothetical, it would be successful in, like, a city where the vibe is already loose, like New Orleans or Vegas. Miami or Vegas. Yeah.
Well, it's already legal in Vegas, isn't it?
Yeah, weed's
like
legal.
That. Weed is legal, but it's not like.
I thought prostitution was.
It's like tolerated. I don't know the exact laws.
Are you saying then that the first red light district it's not going to break out in New Hampshire?
I'm going to go on record. I'm just saying. I just think that there would be too much. We come from a puritanical society. And that's why, like, we don't have, our sex shops are always weird. You know what I'm saying? They got weird windows or you can't see in the back. It's just like, we are really weird about drugs. We're really weird about sexuality, but not with alcohol. Right. So our society is like super, you know, we suppress our sexuality and we increase our alcoholism, which then, like, that's why, like, you look at motherfuckers like Anthony Weiner and shit, like people that have sex issues, but it's so pushed down. If you come out and be like, hey, man, I'm into this or I'm into that. That's just bad. But I guarantee you, we should look this up right now, Tony. Look at like the number one porn downloaded in the state we are in, Iowa. And like, it's freaky shit.
Right.
Because motherfuckers want to see that shit.
Yeah, man.
But I feel like people feel like they can't express themselves.
Bozeman's over here furiously checking fantasy football and sports scores. He's super distracted.
I'm multitasking. Multitasker. I am in both a porn conversation and I want to know how my fantasy football is. Sunday.
It is.
Like Sunday afternoon, we dropping this.
In the United States, what do you guys think is the number one genre of porn? Like that people look at. Do you think it's just
goats, dude? Goats, animals, fucking chicks, right?
Asian lesbian wrestling.
Oh god! Yeah, you didn't listen. We all have our own path to walk, Hannibal. Yeah, that's my thing. I like to watch chicks wrestle. Sorry.
I love those videos, like the combat ones where they wrestle and then whoever loses gets fucked with a dildo.
Hannibal, do you think I haven't been a member of that site for the last 5 years?
Wait, you have porn memberships?
Yeah.
Yeah?
You have a membership?
I just have this one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, look, man, everybody's like, why do you pay for porn when it's free? It's like, yeah, there's porn that everybody can see that's free, but then the shit you pay for is like the shit you need to see.
Nothing is the best when it's free. You got to know if something's free, and then there's something out there that's worth paying for.
I feel like that's what you're doing.
Yeah,
I should pay for some of it just to support the arts. You know.
Yeah.
You ever bought a porn star something off of her Amazon wish list?
No, but I told you I used to live next door to Adria Fox.
Yeah.
Literally for years, I lived next to Adria Fox, the porn star, and in front of her door, there would be gifts every day, and not in a podcast. I'm trying to overemphasize. I'm talking about every day, flat screens, B. I'm talking about like gifts, watches, clothes.
Fan base.
Dude, she has a fan base.
Rewind to what you said. Porn stars wish list on Amazon. Explain to me what that.
Yeah, I got
that. Amazon wish list is, okay. Say, you could have a wish list where you just say, I want people to buy me these things. It's like a registry before individual, basically.
Yeah, for dudes that jack off.
So so I've seen it where they'll have it in their Twitter bio. They say, this is my wish list. And you click on it, and it's just a bunch of shit that they want motherfuckers to buy for them.
Yeah. What? That's
dude.
That's crazy.
Is it though?
If people you could just link it to any social. Could you link it to like Instagram?
It's a link,
and then then they click it, and then people just buy you shit.
If they want to,
you're a porn star, and what's gonna be on your wish list? Go
for me.
Mm. Yeah, any of you. What's gonna be number one on your?
I
wish
would just
list?
Get some shit I would never buy. I want some leather pants. Can a nigga get some leather pants in this bitch?
If I was a porn star or if I'm just me on my wish list.
No. You're a porn star. You can't
male
just,
porn star.
You're a male
porn
star.
We're assuming you're a male in this scenario, yeah. Tony.
Okay.
What is your wish list?
Does it have to concern porn? Because why can't I just be a porn star?
Dude, you can answer however you want. I'm only giving you what you are. You're a porn star.
Okay.
Tony shit would just be music shit.
Yeah, some headphones, a couple of keyboards.
Some Beats by Dre.
You don't want one?
No Beats
sock.
By Dre.
You don't want one goofy thing? Just a cock sock, just like an elephant at the end of it?
Okay, so I'm about to go to this porn star's her wish list. I'm not going to say her name, but she has a woman's spaghetti strap, bodycon, party bandage dress, A Conair Extreme handheld fabric steamer. She just added, these are new items. She added them October 20th, which means somebody buying other stuff. She had another Bodycon club wear, like a tight dress. What else she got? Amazon, is that
some boots?
A Amazon Echo. Some boots, yeah. Some wigs, some cosplay wigs. A bunch of wigs. A big top babe costume.
Just basically tightening up her life. Basically,
Hannibal,
just
why don't you start a wish list?
She's smoothing out the rough edges. Yeah.
Why don't I start a wish list? Because I don't want that much stuff in general.
Yeah.
I don't like stuff that much. I had a couple things I like. I don't want to start a wish list.
That's interesting in that.
Also, I don't, you know.
I see.
She got knives. Should I buy her some knives?
Buy her some knives.
Should I buy her some knives?
Yeah, she wants to get her cooking skills up.
That's you watching too much of James Brown documentary. Should I buy some knives?
Should I buy some knives? Should I buy some knives? Hey, should I buy some knives? Hit me. About to buy her some knives. A Forever 21 gift card for $50. A Starbucks $100 gift card. This one been up here since July. I'm gonna get these. She got some luggage on here. $244.
She got good taste.
Some Cuisinart knives. I'm gonna buy her these knives. I actually know her. I've met her a couple times. She sat. She was sitting next to me when I went to the AVN Porn Awards.
How was that, by the way?
It was surreal. Cause it was just. Just seeing people accept awards for porn and they just give speeches with sincerity about an anal scene, which is that's their work, but it's just jarring.
Isn't it refreshing to see somebody that's not scared of what they do and not being weird? They're like, hey, me and this guy, we worked really hard on this scene and we're really proud of it. I think that's some dope ass shit. But you said something earlier, man, that was kind of interesting to me, and I want to get y'all opinion too. Do y'all think we're like the first generation that doesn't want a lot of shit? Because I remember like my dad, not so much, but like my grandparents, you know, you go in the basement, there's a ton of shit. Attic, there's a ton of shit. There'd be like a guest bedroom that's packed with shit and books.
Everybody's grandparents are hoarders.
They all grew up in Great Depression. And like motherfuckers like, don't throw that aluminum foil away. We rinse that off and use it. You know, because motherfuckers, you might not have that shit again. But I feel like I throw so much shit away. That I don't use. Like, my apartment looked like a spy lives there.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
For one, you don't need photo albums anymore because you got phone. You got a phone and get all your photos. You don't need a photo album anymore, so shit like that. And then once you start getting rid of that, it's all just getting rid of keepsakes and shit. Mm-hmm. Like, I got my son's first pair of Jordans that I bought him when he...
Of course. You keep that shit. You don't throw away baby shit because you're trying to keep away his Jordan, room clean. Right? Yeah.
Whoa. We'll keep those Jordans.
See, I disagree with you guys. I like to keep a lot of stuff just because I like to... When I buy things... I like to buy them of high quality.
I was just about to say, you never buy, if you get headphones, you get $400 headphones. That's your half ever.
I don't like to buy things that are disposable, is what I'm saying. So I hold on to a lot of shit. But that doesn't mean that I buy a lot of shit. I just buy that one thing in high quality and hold on to it. It's for as long as I can, at least. Until it dies or I lose it.
Yeah, and you're like you like the kind of dude that you don't seem like you lose a lot of things though.
Sunglasses, man.
Y'all whole crew loses sunglasses.
Sunglasses don't belong to us. Sunglasses belong to the streets. They're all with us temporarily.
Every time we've gone out to eat this road trip, I've always grabbed somebody's sunglasses because they left them on the table. It's almost like y'all trying to lose them. It's just like y'all set them down.
I won't buy nice ones anymore, man.
You set them down, and then it's always like, oh, thanks, man. Damn it.
Sunglasses are a weird item in that you have them on your body, but anytime you go indoors, if you're wearing them, you look like an asshole like I do now.
What's the most you've ever dropped for sunglasses and you knew you did? What's the most you did take a shit with those sunglasses on because you couldn't remove your shirt? And so that's character. That's what we're talking about. That is character.
Hannibal stifling my creativity by not letting me do the podcast with my shirt off. What's up with that?
Yeah,
man?
I didn't. What's up with that?
I was just being contrarian, honestly. If you were like, I'd be like, take your shirt off. You'd be like, I'm not taking my shirt off. Nah, you got to do it, just shirt off. So I was just saying the opposite.
I appreciate you. Shirt's going off.
Sorry to veer off for a bit, but I'm almost finished with the purchasing process. They let you put a note in there. Okay. And so I said, hi, I'm buying knives for people from Hannibal Buress. Should I say something funnier or better?
I think you should go by the Handsome Rambler in this case.
Handsome Rambler?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Yep. From the Handsome Rambler? From the Handsome Rambler crew.
I say you just give her like a fortune cookie from advice.
From the crew of Handsome Rambler.
Some weird Confucius-like advice.
A bird in the hand kind of shit. Yeah.
You about to give a fortune cookie advice?
What advice would you give to this girl?
Yo.
The energy you...
Use these knives to change your career.
Thank you for your help in ruining several laptop keyboards.
Just put, if somebody breaks in your house, I hope they don't find these knives.
Hey man, this is gonna sound weird and maybe I'm out of date, but is that a thing? Is that like people are watching porn and jizzing so hard that they just fucking up computers? Is that?
I was just exaggerating, but I'm sure somebody has.
That's a thing, right? Just came and just was like, it just was so grossed out by their own fluids that they just toss the computer. Is this a thing?
That can't be. It's too expensive. You can't have a $1,500 nut bust. There's no nut that's worth that.
You know, I bet you there is.
What do you think a prostitute is?
You know there's people out there that forget their computer and go out and just buy another computer.
Yeah, I mean, if you have disposable money like that, but I'm saying you're not going to, first of all, you know when you're about to come, and if you're standing over your keyboard, that's a decision you made.
Yeah.
But also, I don't think jizz ruins the keys for real, right?
It's if just you jizz. Let it sit there and ooze in there,
if it's a reminder of how your life is going, you might toss your computer.
Or maybe you have a baby, a smaller computer is born.
You come back the next day, it's just an iPad next to your computer.
Do you have a computer?
The baby's like,
you have a computer just for that.
All right, I'm about to buy these knives. All right, there we go.
Wait, what's the message you left?
I said, I kept it simple. I could change it. I said, hey, I'm buying knives for people from the Handsome Ram. Nah, let's do better. I need to two-hand this, maybe. Hold on.
Oh, Jesus.
Two-hand just... type this. All right, okay.
You just removed your shirt.
What's up?
I feel like that needed fog action.
Oh, wow.
Hal took his shirt off.
We,
is that that you feel more creative now?
You really, not really.
I'm expecting some amazing shit out of you right,
right.
now.
You're like, I can't pitch on this letter with a shirt on.
You better be able to contribute to this personal Al, note that HB's about to say.
The key?
Yeah. Hey, what's up? I was thinking about you and figured you'd need some knives. And I bought you some live. I bought you something off of your Amazon wish list. I hope you get this. And then you use them to cut up onions, to cut up garlic, to cut up bell peppers, to cut up all the stuff you have in your closet, this leather. Cut holes into jeans. Cut collard greens. Cut a robber in his spleen.
Bleed, robber.
Bleed.
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 You're snapping on that organelle, Al. I think it was the shirt.
I think I was missing my calling, Tony.
The shirtlessness. And the organelle, that's the new Al right there. Ba-da-ba-ba, ba-da-ba-ba, ba-da-ba-da-ba. Denver Al, ladies and gentlemen. Denver Jackson, Denver, that's your new name. Denver.
You are Denver, you and Denver Jackson. You're outdoorsy dude. So I know, you need man. To, you gotta take your shirt off, dude.
Denver
solid,
Jackson.
Man. What you benching nowadays? Denver you Jackson.
Man, I don't bench no more. I feel like benching is a high school thing. You remember, like, in high school, you used to always ask people what they bench.
What's your bench press?
Well, that's when you ask a grown man what you benching.
What you benching, dude? What you benching? What you throwing up? What you throwing up?
Denver Jackson does yoga and runs along trails. He's like the black Joe Rogan.
Dude, I cannot get into outside, man. I don't like it out there. I don't like it hot. I don't like bugs. I like air conditioning. I like toilets I like unisex toilets. They only just got one in there. You can shut the door. I'm not even fancy. I like nice shit.
I just bought bidets for my bathroom at the crib. Yeah. Game changer, dude. Game changer. Bidets is the most amazing thing.
What does a bidet cost?
Under $100.
Shut the fuck up.
And you attach it to your toilet.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
and
yeah,
you
yeah.
You just hook up a little cord, and it's dope, dude. I got them both my bathrooms.
So is your bidet sitting next to your toilet like a sidecar on a motorcycle, or is it the same thing?
It's like a sidecar. It's like a little attachable thing. It's just like a lever that you attach.
So you do your business
side.
And then you move over 6 inches?
No, dude. Nope.
No,
it's right
there.
It's in there. It's in the toilet. The lever is on the side.
It squirts.
And it comes out. And it's amazing. And you use toilet paper, but just basically to dry off. It's not even
to wipe the water.
Yeah, man. It's great. Everyone. Listen.
This has always been
my whole thing, dude. If you picked up a piece of shit, right? Would you just put toilet paper on it and consider your hands clean? You at least want to water it off or rinse it off.
I feel like you're selling bidets now.
Dude, I'm pro bidet. Everybody should have one. Ooh. Especially if you in a relationship and things get boring and you might eat some ass. Why would you not have a bidet?
Yeah.
Go.
That's a good point.
Why would you not have a bidet?
Say yay to the day. Say yay to the day. All play.
Oh.
Every day. Foray. Yo. With the bidet. It's a bidet, yo. It's a bidet, yo. Here we go, yo. All shit, yo. To the front, to the back, in the wake, wick, whack. It's shits with a bidet, and it's like that, yo.
yo. Who is the leader in bidet production? Who's the top bidet company?
I don't know. HB, you got the computer right there.
That's probably some Japanese company.
I closed
company.
It because, I mean, it's just more fun to...
I would think it'd be a European company.
Yeah?
But the Japanese have been on that high-tech shit for a minute with the bidets.
I would assume...
Yeah, they make... 75% of bathrooms in Japan have bidets just built in them.
Now, is it warm water always?
Top
is
bidet warm, company.
Can, or is it cold?
It's just room temperature. It's not like... You're not like, woo. Yeah. What is that?
It's like a drinking fountain in the park.
It's clean. It's filtered water. It comes from the... Okay. It doesn't come from the toilet, like, per se. It comes from the...
Toto. The best bidet seat, Toto Washlet, offers a heated seat and a water stream that you can calibrate to your preferences better than any other at this price. The C200 foregoes extraneous features you wouldn't use anyway, and it comes with a remote.
Oh, shit.
It's unnecessary.
You got a remote to clean.
Why would you need a remote for it? That's unnecessary.
It's unnecessary, but maybe you just like having that amount of control when you're cleaning your butthole.
But maybe you're in a dom-sub relationship, and your sub gives you the remote, and you go tell her to sit on the toilet, and you can control when she's done and her water pressure.
There's that. There's also that.
Sometimes $420 bucks.
Too much.
That's not bad.
Too much. Not.
Yeah, because, dude, if you live in a place that gets cold, that Toto also has a seat warmer because they have that at my voiceover place in L.A., and they have that exact same seat, and it's a seat warmer, and I go and take a shit just because I want to sit down, and I like having my ass cheeks toasty.
Yeah, I do. We like heated floors.
That's not
in
worth $400 to you?
Do you not like heated floors in a bathroom?
I don't think you're a fancy
like
man.
You go out there, I'm just saying, we all like that shit. I'm just talking about cleaning your ass.
Warm toilet seats are disgusting. It feels like someone just took a shit.
Yeah, but you did just take a shit.
I'm saying somebody else.
Somebody else's shit he's talking about. You sit down.
You know, when you sit down.
You hate that. Yeah.
Yo.
Like, I don't want to be too comfortable when I take a shit.
When I was in Mississippi, hanging with my cousins, it was...
Shout out to the sick.
Yeah.
601.
We went to their football game, the high school homecoming game. And I go to the bathroom right before halftime, and it's like a bunch of teenagers shooting dice in there and shit.
Stop it!
It's shooting dice, and you know I was like, dude, I wanted to hop in the game.
Yeah. Because,
and then
the handsome gambler.
I took a piss and I farted while I pissed, and then I guess the leader of the group was like, it smelled like somebody farted in here. I was like, yeah, it's the bathroom, bro. You're gambling in the fart spot. Don't make me.
This is a room by and for farts.
It's, yeah, you're exactly. Gambling in here, and it's flies all around your dice game. That's why I didn't join, because it was too many flies by the game.
First of all, I just didn't know how many dudes farted when they peed until I became a grown man and started going to public bathrooms. I was like, oh, a lot of niggas fart before they pee, and I don't. It's almost like a Kickstarter.
You don't do
Not
that?
Not really, dude. I don't fart. Well, I farted today, but it's rare.
You just don't fart? You're not a farter?
Not really.
No, how does that work? That's not true. You just killed a block.
I said
you just killed a block
I already brought
earlier
up today,
today,
and I apologize to you for that. I said, my bad.
This is how bad your fart was. Al was in the middle, Hannibal was up front, and yep. I was in the back. And he farted, and he hit me, and he swung up front.
It ricocheted.
It moved up.
It bounced off of me, and then I was like, damn. Jesus Christ, man. And then Hannibal, 5 seconds later, like, Jesus Christ.
Same
fart.
You ever fart, and then you wonder if you're healthy? Like there's nothing.
No, that was a clue. I believe that was a healthy fart. We were walking, though. So that means it chased up. It wasn't like we were stationary. We were walking. Yeah. So I walked into it, and then it was like, yo, now I'm about to go get your boy up front.
Right. And it was very upset because I had a very smug 8 seconds where I was like, he got Bowser with the fart. Oh, shit. Thought
see,
I was
my
safe.
My fart hurt that. I didn't like that. My farts are like white special teamers. They work extra hard. Like my farts want to make the 53-man roster.
Yeah, your fart is a
you got practice squad farts.
practice squad linebacker. You got goddamn
practice squad farts.
Punt team gunner farts.
You got You got 4.7 speed farts. You got 4.7 speeds. Yeah. Gutsy. Kids got a lot of heart farts.
Yeah. My farts be having a heart. My farts be coming out of small schools in the Midwest. No stops.
D2 farts.
I got walk-on farts.
D2 with heart farts.
Got goddamn Central Missouri 6th round draft.
This part right here has got this part right here's got a lot of guts. This part right here, it believes in itself. Hey, man. This part right here is a winner. All the coaches talk this fart up.
The Rudy of farts.
What he lacks for in athletic ability, he makes up for in smell.
And he's a great locker room guy, that fart.
He's a great locker room
guy. I remember watching Rudy and being like, this guy just wasted his time. He wasted his fucking time.
What was the premise of Rudy again?
The dude that walked on to Notre Dame and got in for like one play at the end of his career. And it's like, yo, if he didn't get a movie made about him, like, that was a huge waste of his time.
He worked out. He got to be in shape for a few years. And
be in shape.
Got to go to some parties and a lot of T-shirts and gear.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wait, was Winona Ryder in that movie?
No.
No.
I'm thinking of a different one then.
You thinking A Girl Interrupted?
Yeah, I got
Girl
those
Interrupted
two.
And Rudy.
Yeah, well, he busted out with it's Winona Ryder thing. Like it's Beetlejuice.
It's a fair thing.
She was in the movie. Oh, Lucas. She was in that movie with a kid.
Another thing, a nerd trying to do some shit for a girl. He got lit up coming across the middle as he should have because he shouldn't have been on the fucking field. If you're not built to play football, don't go out there because you're trying to get some puss. So I'm glad Lucas got lit up. Rudy was offsides on the one sack he did have. So fuck everybody and stop trying to overachieve to get some puss. Just go make money. If you have money, girls will come around. It doesn't matter. You don't have to play football, you dumb fuck.
Basically, Al just said, stay in your lane.
Stay in your lane. Get some dough and go get girls. Does anybody with money have any trouble getting girls? Just do that shit with real estate. You ain't got to fucking run, stay in the slot.
Yo. I don't know. I like that the choices I've made in life has led to me sitting at a table with you in Iowa and you yelling shirtless about Rudy.
Rudy. This
is, immediately after he took a shit in the bathroom with his sunglasses on. What kind of life are we living?
We're living our best life.
Talking about why, what the fuck is wrong with people.
Yeah. But yeah, it's like, man, I sat on the bench in high school for my first 3 years, and I feel like that shit made me the person I am today. Because I got bitter, and I got sarcastic. And like when our coach would be giving like pregame speeches, he'd be like, they're not going to come into our house and push. And I'd be like, aren't we playing the motherfuckers in like 2 weeks? Who cares? I remember sitting there in my uniform like, who gives a fuck about this? And I remember being a sophomore, junior, being like, oh, life is way more important than being in high school. Rather than some people that like let high school affect them for the rest of their life and be like, oh, God, I didn't make homecoming. I knew in high school. I was like, this is some bullshit. I'm about to get the fuck out of here.
What position you play?
Shooting guard.
Oh, you shoot? I thought you was talking football, basketball, shooting guard?
Yeah, yeah.
And how tall are you?
6 feet.
Oh, Jesus, you guys got awful, weren't you?
By the time my senior year when I was getting playing time, we were horrible.
You were horrible.
Because
you
we
were
just.
A 6 foot shooting guard.
6 foot shooting guard wasn't that fast. One time, my coach's name was Pat Moore, Coach Moore.
Yeah.
And one time we were running sprints and he stopped practice and he goes, I thought this was hilarious. He stops and he goes, hold up, time out. Jackson. Are you trying to dispel the myth that all black men are fast? Like my coach said that to my face. I thought that shit was fucking hilarious. You can't say that shit no more because you get fired. But like, this is the 90s and like there was no cameras. Yeah. He just said some semi-racist shit to me and we kept playing.
You know why? Because back then every coach had a poster of Bobby Knight, who is a piece of shit human being, in my opinion. Bobby Knight is a piece of shit human being. He's a great coach. There's no denying. You can be both. People don't understand. You can be both. He's a piece of shit human being. He's a great coach. But they all thought that the way to get the best out of you is to belittle you.
Right.
We have to belittle him. There was no, in the 80s, not one coach was like, hey, man, it's okay.
Like I got a player's coach. Right? Yeah.
There's not like, I got it. It's cool.
So you guys know how it feels to be raised by Asian parents.
That's how they did was belittle you?
They belittle you.
Belittle you. As soon as they found out you wasn't going to be a doctor, but a DJ, it was all downhill.
Oh, yeah. I'm okay. Yeah. I feel good like idea.
It, especially.
You want to play music for people? Good luck.
I think.
Hey, Tony over here. He's traveling.
Why don't you play us something, Tony?
Yeah, play.
Dude, I think that especially, I mean, black parents to a certain extent, but I think brown people, that goes like Indian, Asian, Hispanic, definitely, they are haters towards their own people. Like, if you're not doing something mainstream, like my boy Neil Nanda was on that Vice show, the Flop House, remember that comic show? And he told me, he showed me the thing, he sent his mom a text, Neil Nada's Indian, he sent his mom text like, yo, I'm on national TV tonight, and she just texts back, sleeping.
Shit.
And it's just like, dude,
I think they're just like, I fought
to get you to this country, get a job that we know is gonna make money, engineering, law, medicine. And they don't understand until you're Aziz, where you're the most famous Indian person in the Western Hemisphere. Like, they don't get it. They're just like, why don't you just go get a job that you know is going to make money? Why are
even,
you going to be...
Even so, like, a lot of Asians don't make it in the entertainment business and still be... And the parents will still be like, you still doing this bullshit?
I believe it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's weird.
Parents make the mistake of liking to put their dreams and aspirations on you. That's why you see those fucking psychotic American parents yelling at their kids in sports and just breaking it out because they want them to do what they wanted to do and they couldn't. And so they put it on their kids,
you can make the argument that half the shows on TV, whether it's like Friday Night Tykes or even Dance Moms, is just
them
people, overweight chicks that want their super in shape, talented daughters. That, yeah, it's like you're here yelling at this girl that you brought your daughter to a building where a fucking fat egomaniac is screaming at her and destroying her. It's like the fact that you do that shows me that not only is this definitely not about your daughter, this is about you. Because if anybody talked to your kid the way that Dance Mom chick talks to them girls, or like any of them Friday Night Tykes calling them
punks and shit. But that's the same thing. Dude. That's the same thing Tony just said is going on with him, except it's not, I mean, truth be told, if all parents are monsters, you would want your kids to be a monster to push your kids into medicine and shit than to be a fucking dancer or a soccer player or some shit, right?
Yeah, it's a weird thing.
They're all, parents are the worst. I deal with them daily, and they're the worst.
I mean,
worst.
My parents
they are
cool
the worst
now.
People.
They've grown to accept, and they're cool now, but in the beginning.
How long did it take?
Yeah, I was just about to ask that.
How long did it take?
Shit, tough.
He's like, what's today?
You like check my texts.
Five, 6 years ago,
Tuesday.
I think,
not this Tuesday, but last Tuesday.
The Chris Rock episode.
They don't even. I tried to explain to them what the podcast was about, and they're like, "Oh, you got a radio show? Great. What channel?" I'm like, "That's not how it works.
You have to seek it out. I couldn't
explain.
Doesn't just pop up on people. Yo, that That Dance Moms lady was on Eric Andre's show.
Well, before she went to the clink?
Yeah.
Shit. And
she was terrible. Like, at one point, I'm pigeon-toed and bow-legged, and she started saying some shit to me like, your mom should have had you in leg braces as a kid. And I was like, hey, relax, lady.
Don't. You ever get that thing where you just go, stop saying words?
Stop.
You're saying the wrong words right now.
And I was like, hey, shut up, lady. And then when after we rapped, and she was in her green room, and I was like, yo, you shut the fuck up. Don't ever fucking disrespect.
You said that?
Yeah. I snapped on her ass. I was like, don't ever fucking. Because it was like, say whatever jokes you got for me. You know what I mean?
Right.
Say anything about me. Because we're being weird on the show, but we're not talking about family members and shit.
And also, your mom's dope as fuck. So
yeah,
it's like, watch
your
mouth.
Mom, shut up. I was like, yo, lady. And then when I started seeing that she was going to jail, I was like, Yeah, she should go to jail.
She should do it. Like, she needs some time to reflect.
You should have started subtweeting her, like, do you think they'll have braces in jail?
Leg for braces your legs? In jail. You said my mom should put leg braces. Should have put leg braces on me. You should have not committed fraud. How about that?
Yeah, they caught her. They caught her like on an airplane going to Australia with like 800 stacks in a briefcase on, right? Just trying to launder that money. I'm like, do that shit through the Cayman Islands. You going to Australia for it, huh?
Like fraud or laundering money stealing and shit.
Dude, she got a year. Look, man, that's the only thing where you can that will send a white woman in her 50s to jail is when you fuck with the government's money.
Yeah, they
anything
don't,
else
they don't like
you
that.
Good.
They don't like when listen, we don't need you doing that, white women. Right? That's what stay in your lane. We will let you get away with a lot of shit, but don't you dare do any fraudulent money laundering type shit.
What else have you heard of a white woman in her 50s going to jail?
Martha Stewart.
I mean,
that's what I'm saying. Like, right. Money shit.
Well, if they kill somebody, they probably get them. Yeah. What you mean?
That's that snap shit.
And even then, they're like, were you hurt? Were you abused?
Yeah.
Please tell us that you were abused. Give us a reason to let you go.
Oh, man. To be a white woman, to just walk around. Just knowing nothing that you do can get you in jail. You could get pulled over. You could talk shit to the cop.
Yeah, and Martha Stewart bounced right back.
Yeah.
She went to jail, bounced right back.
Have you ever just YouTubed white girls talking bad to cops? The shit they say?
Yeah. No. Is there a compilation?
It's fucking incredible. Just like, whatever fuck face.
Dude,
saying that to the cop. I'm like, what?
I've said this once and I'm not taking it back at all. The worst hecklers I have in my show, when I do have them, are white women. They are the worst. They believe that they have the right to talk during the show. Not all white women. I'm just saying the ones that heckle.
Right.
The ones that heckle are the worst hecklers are white women. And it's not even close.
And do you know where you get them? First of all, I mean, we had footage of that shit. HB, you remember Portland.
Yeah.
But it's just in those small towns, when it's like the white girl that's like the hot girl in like Winston-Salem or something, you know. So she's never, she goes to your show and she's sitting there for like 20, 30 minutes and she's looking around and everybody's looking at you and she can't accept it. Because everywhere she goes in that town, every time she goes to the Fridays, every time she goes to the club, she knows everybody. Oh, that's Randy's the bartender. We don't pay for anything here. Like they cannot understand that this gigantic Negro, Kevin Bozeman's in her town and people are laughing and paying attention to you. So that's why you can just hear, they're not even heckling you. Sometimes they're just talking.
No, yeah, that's what I mean. They'll talk during the show.
Yeah, my boss wasn't at work today. So now you're like, what? You're like, what are you saying? You're not even saying I suck. I can understand I suck. But just having a general conversation.
A general awareness.
Two rows
awareness.
From the front. Yeah, it's really weird.
Yo, awareness. Once my guy was driving us back from a DJ gig, and we were drinking, obviously, during the gig. He wasn't, like, fucked up, but he was drinking. And we had this white girl in the back seat, and it was, like, his friend, I don't know, from the Burbs, wherever. And she just, I mean, like, he was playing it cool. The cop was cool. We were going to, like, you know, he was like, you know, you made a legal left turn. Something small. He was about to let us go. This girl just starts barking. Like, do you know who my dad is? And blah, blah, blah.
Well, you who
know,
are you? Blah.
And then right after that, friend catches a DUI.
Because she just had to
ruin the situation. She had to say something.
Yeah, dude. It's
like, yo, just shut up and let us handle this situation. Like, yo, why are you barking right now? Like, there's like,
who was her dad?
She was wealthy. He was wealthy.
That's it.
That's it. And
I thought you were gonna be like, her dad was the comptroller. Or like some shit that's not that
money
intense.
They have money and he owns some maybe scrap metal company or some dumb shit.
I think a lot of what that is, Tony, is I think that they associate police as people to deal with, that their job is to deal with like the lesser part of society.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the fact that they're even being bothered by
point.
A cop,
yeah.
They cannot, they're so offended.
What?
They cannot believe. They're like, shouldn't you be arresting some Mexicans right now?
Yeah.
Like,
huh?
They cannot believe
what?
That a cop has detained them.
You can't see my immunity cloak?
Yeah. Yeah, if you ever look, I remember this is a year two before even Black Lives Matter, there was a hashtag on Twitter called Criming While White. And people were like, white people were starting to understand like what white privilege was when people were talking about, like, when black people were talking about, like, when they get pulled over by the cops. And I read this one tweet, and this girl says, I was with my boyfriend. He was hammered. We got pulled over. The cop asked for his license, and the cop was looking at it. And she said her boyfriend snatched his license back out of the cop's hand and told him to fuck off and drove away. And the cop just stood there and let him go. Wow. And she was like, that didn't hit her, that was strange.
It was just like, that's how you do.
It was like that. It was like that whole old Chappelle bit from back, Kill 'Em Softly. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so true.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me.
Close your butt cheeks.
How about dude yesterday in Nebraska? That's a different situation, but it's not. The police weren't involved, but it was just a different, weird, white situation when we were at BW3.
Oh,
and
shut up. And,
dude, I hated the fact that everyone that wanted to take pictures with you just would come up and be like, so you're clearly former football players.
Let's explain what's happening. So yeah, yesterday I was at we were at BW3.
Buffalo Wild Wings. Buffalo Wild Wings 3 was the original name, but we call it BW3.
Oh, okay.
But it's in Lincoln, Nebraska, which is home of Nebraska.
Yeah. Yeah. And so we were sitting, just chilling, watching the games, eating some wings. And, you know, a few people came up and asked me for pictures. And then one guy, after seeing this, just slaps the shit out of my shoulder from behind, which is weird to do to a stranger. In these times, in any times, but definitely. And so, and then he says, well, you take a picture with my daughters, you must be a Cornhusker player. He just thought I was a football player.
Yeah. Which, and we was just like, nah, we not.
Nah, dog. And I didn't give him any, like, oh, no, it's chill, man. Like, get the fuck out of here, weirdo.
Dude, you should have took that picture and just signed it. Fucking Jeff Blake or some old black quarterback.
Nah, I don't want to be a part of a bit that I can't see all the way through. No, I'd rather just shame him.
Right, but the fact that it's got to be annoying, though, that, okay, fine, if you're thinking I'm a football player, but at least you got to know which football player you think I am. You just can't be like, yo, you clearly a former football player, so I'll... Yeah. You come take a picture. I don't know who you are. I don't know who you are, but I know that you used to be a football player. I don't know if you were third string, whatever. I know you used to be a football player. Come take a picture with my family.
That goes to a theory that I've had, and I'd like to bounce this off y'all, see what y'all thoughts are on this. I feel like, and this has to do with black people, gay people, Mexican people, anybody that's considered a minority. I feel like if you're a regular white person that lives in the country, not a major city like New York where you live in a building with a bunch of people, I'm talking about like you live in the Midwest or most of the country. I feel like you might not know one single black person. Maybe your whole, you might know like, oh, there's Hannibal. He was in my eighth grade English class. But like you might not have a black friend. You might not have a gay friend. I feel like they just...
And your dog is racist.
Right, they really just do... I feel like a lot of white people... When would you ever run into a black person? Except maybe a coworker or something. But when would you ever meet a black person?
Well, it depends on the city. I think Lincoln, I'm sure it's a small black population, but they have some. Also, I mean, you know, I've had assumptions about... people and what I think they do, but I don't just run up on them with my guesses. I leave them to me and my friends.
But because because you're so exotic. I think that, like, to them, that a black dude sitting in the BW3, how many black people were in there when we went in there? It was us and the bartender.
Yeah.
That was fucking up his gig. He was fucking up.
Really?
Yeah. And I don't know if you noticed, because we were kind of joking with the bartender, but he walked away and she goes, he's a fucking asshole. Like, in a non-funny way.
Yeah.
Because she made that joke like, hey, I hate... First of all, she's talking to us about him not cleaning up her station. It's like, guess what? I don't work here.
Right.
I don't want to hear about your inner office politics.
She needed somebody to vent to.
Yeah. But I honestly think that a lot of people in the country don't know a gay person or don't know. That's why they're like, oh, gay people are weird. And it's like, when you know a bunch of gay people, when you work in entertainment, you're like, no, they're not.
And so they turn to Fox News to figure out exactly.
And they're like, are the gays taking over your high school? It's like, there's four of them.
Yo, when I was in college, went to this guy's house with a couple of my friends, and they happened to be black, and this dog started going ape shit on them, the two black guys. And then we all just looked at this guy like, you don't have many black friends, do you?
No, it's like sometimes when you're
his dog is racist.
Yeah, when you get on the elevator and like a little white kid has never seen a black dude before, and you can tell that they're about to say something, and the parent kind of grabs, because you can see the kid pointing and about to ask a question, and they're like, come here, Timmy.
Yeah. Are these the niggers that you referring to, mom?
Are these the Reagans?
I've told you that story, mom. About when I was going to when I was going to St. Louis from Carbondale. We stopped at the gas station. Little kid, there was a little kid and his mom, and I heard like he tugged on her pants and was like, "Look, mom, it's a Chinese boy."
No.
Like, yeah. I was the first Asian kid he ever seen.
Well, congratulations.
No, can I have my
Yeah.
Al just bullies my shit.
Al bullies? Sitting next to me with his shirt off and sunglasses, so it shouldn't seem like it's a far-fetched thing for something to be a bully. Did y'all sit next to one with their shirt off and sunglasses on?
Did y'all get bullied at all?
Yeah, I got bullied.
A little bit.
Oh, I got bullied.
Everybody got bullied a little
bit. Even the bullies got bullied. That's why they became bullies. Vicious cycle. Broken glass everywhere. I am a bully and nobody cares. Hurt people.
That's funny. That's actually a good point, because you're like, stand up for yourself. Don't let these bullies bully you. And you're like, yeah. And you kick the bully's ass, and then you start kicking other people's ass, and you become a bully.
I always felt the worst when some of my friends got bullied, and I wasn't like tough enough to be like, yo, you ain't bullying my friend no more. I used to be like, damn, this is fucked up. And I'm fucked up the fact that I won't do anything about it. Like, those are the things that bother me the most, like when I look back.
Right.
Like, I'm talking 9, 10 years old, like looking at my friends get bullied, and I'm just sitting back like, damn, this is awful.
Yeah. I have guilt, because I saw a guy get bullied all 4 years of high school. He definitely had some kind of growth issue. You know, like when a dude, he's small, obviously, to be in high school, but like you can tell like he's having some issues, like where he needs to take medication. And so he was unusually small to be in high school. And somebody that I know bullied him a lot. And I remember one day, and you know me, I don't remember a whole lot, man. I remember one day he had brought you know that big pack of Twizzlers that you get, that like it's like the jumbo one. And he brought it, and all the black kids in my high school, we sat in like this one kind of corner area. And he brought it and was just trying to be cool. And was like, hey, y'all, I got Twizzlers for everybody. You know what I'm saying? And this dude took the bag, and he just took them, because, you know, Twizzlers are all stuck together, almost like a rope. He took them out and just, he just gripped all the Twizzlers. He just gripped them up, He was a big dude, and just like threw them down. And I just looked at that kid's face, and I was probably 15, 16, but that was like the first time I saw somebody that just looked defeated. Like, it was just like, he was just like, I'm trying to do this nice thing. And you could just tell, and people laughed. And it's just like, I'll never forget what his face looked like. Like, he was just so hurt. He was just hurt. You know what I'm saying?
And you never put that behind you, dude. That sticks with you. Like, even if you go on and be other things in life, you might close your eyes and that motherfucker still see his Twizzlers getting grabbed and gripped and thrown. And then that.
real though.
And then that, whoever that dude, hopefully ends up. People always say you shouldn't. I love wishing bad shit on people. It's like my favorite thing to do. I love wishing bad shit on people.
You should get in the Wicca.
What is that?
What is Wicca?
You know, like witchery.
A Wiccan?
Yeah. Black magic.
Do you guys.
Curse on you.
Death upon you and your family.
Curse on your mother.
Disease on your mother.
Give me some dark drums.
Mm.
put a curse.
Yeah. Curse. Curse. Death to you. Curse. Curse. Everything has consequences. Death. Curse. Universe. Karma and the devil will get to you first, but once I do, you gotta get cursed.
I could play that every time I wish it on people.
Now, let me ask y'all this. Do y'all believe in anything, not supernatural, but do you believe in energy? Do you think that, like, not that you could put a curse on somebody, but do you guys believe in karma? Do you believe that there is anything to voodoo? Do you believe there's anything to praying? Do you believe that there's anything outside of the physical, like what we could touch?
Yes. Yes.
You always have?
I don't know if I always have, but lately.
People get the wrong idea about karma. Karma is actually a very, very simple notion. It's not this mystical power. It's energy that you surround yourself with. So if you are the type of motherfucker who likes to steal things and do bad things to other people, it attracts that kind of energy to you. So those kind of people like to hang out with you. And then bad things happen to you. And it just keeps going and going. It's a vicious. But on the other hand, if you're a good person and you like to do good things for people, good people are attracted to you, and your circle of friends are good people, and good energy grows. That's what karma is. It's not this mystical power where it's like, I stole a candy bar, something bad might happen to me tomorrow.
I'm going to do something good, and then karma will come back my way. If you're a good person, then karma puts good people. Yeah,
it's a path of energy, is what it is. Right. It's not a mystical power.
As opposed to doing one random thing to try.
Exactly. It's not a. It's not a deed for a deed. It's very simple, you know.
Right. Yeah. Speaking of which, I think Big Mike might be locked out. I should check my phone.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
No, because the door's open. I can see it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Big Mike, right there.
Big Mike, did you grab us beer?
Is he here?
Yeah.
Big Mike chilling on the ones and twos.
Big Mike, did you grab us some beers? Yeah. Oh, let's bust it open.
Yeah, do we have any tequila or whiskey or vodka?
Nah.
Mike's one of them.
But or any liqueur?
Your pronunciation technique on the tequila, vodka.
Any liqueur?
You saying that shit like you teaching somebody English. Tequila! Tequila!
This is how you do it when you're daytime drinking. Two shots of tequila.
I love it.
Kev, where'd you play college ball again?
Iowa Lakes, 2 years. So this is my area where we're at right now.
Oh, here, yeah?
Like I was north of here, but I know this whole, like when we were coming in from Nebraska, I knew all of that shit.
Wait,
I
didn't say what position?
Small forward.
Oh shit! All right, man.
Small forward.
Anybody that's obviously you can't see is Bose is what I'm gonna guess 6'5". 255.
No, son, I've lost. I'm 235.
235.
230. 235. Yeah. Yeah. Except maybe not. Maybe not this. Oh, that's so dope.
When I grab my beer. When I grab my beer. It's the sound I
want to hear. So Iowa Lakes, 2 years, and then 2 years, Wisconsin Whitewater plays.
Wisconsin Whitewater, shout out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ran that three spot, son. Well, lockdown defender. I didn't learn how to shoot. I couldn't shoot until after I got done with basketball. As soon as I got done. The moment I stopped playing collegiate basketball, I couldn't miss.
Did you play all 4 years?
Yeah,
shit. Yeah,
two was that a junior college?
2 years junior college, 2 years Wisconsin Whitewater.
What was your average at the junior college?
13-10. I was a power forward.
Yeah, that's dope, man.
Average 13-10, and then I went to Whitewater just because I wanted to be closer to home. I actually had a offer to go play in Regis College.
I know
Denver. I had an offer to play and Dakota State, and it was getting to the summertime, and I didn't want to wait. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and take this fee remission. That's what they call it, because you couldn't give scholarships in D3. And I went to Wisconsin-Whitewater, and I played three. And I was just strictly – I guarded point guards through centers. All five positions.
Okay. You're the original Lamar Odom.
I guarded – no, dude. I was Tony Allen. I was up in mugs, dude. I was all D. Just defense.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
What was your move? Did you have, like, drop step, baby hook?
Nope. My move was somebody else shoot. I got the offensive board.
Yeah.
That was my move. Cause like, I'm 6'5", but my wingspan is 6'8", 6'7". Yeah. So it was really long. So I was always able to guard bigger dudes and guard dudes quicker than me because I had my long arm reach to
could you dunk? Pick up.
Yeah. Jesus, Tony.
Tony, Jesus. See, that's
a question like that's a woman
that's
would ask.
That's an Asian question, actually. That's what you asked.
No,
me
you remember on the last podcast I asked you that, you got mad at him.
Yeah, of course I can
you
dunk.
Of course I can dunk.
Yeah. Yo, dude, let's next time, man, let's grab an old VHS and let me put in some old tapes.
All right. And get the VCR, too.
Yeah, get the VCR.
Yeah, I'll put a VCR on my Amazon wish list.
Just watch me, man.
I have a question for Hannibal. Yeah. And this is about Kevin. Do you think Kevin can still dunk?
No.
I say...
Graze rim.
I think he can.
Yes.
Tennis ball.
Yeah.
I think it'll take him three tries, but he could do it.
Regular basketball? Tennis ball?
Regular basketball.
I'll throw it down a tennis ball. I can do it.
I think like three to five tries he could do it.
Yeah. I need to know days in advance.
Okay.
November 7th, I need you to be able to dunk. Yeah, I can do it.
So let's say a random millionaire comes in and he goes, yo, if you could dunk a basketball in two Sundays, we'll give you 2 weeks to work out.
Oh, it's done.
Oh, no. Okay, I'll take it. Wednesday. You have to be able to dunk, and I'll give you $10,000 if you can do it, but you owe me $10,000 if you can't. You get three chances. Are you taking that?
Yeah.
It has to be two-handed.
I'm a gambler. Why is it? Why,
but what,
why
do, you, what do you think? Are you, like, when you go in there, harder? Are you confident, or are you like, I think I can?
Oh, Jesus. I think I can.
You think you can? Yeah, that's real.
I think I can.
Isn't it harder to dunk with two hands than one?
I don't know I can.
Depends on how you jump. Some people jump with two
feet. I'm a vertical jumper, so it's easy for me to do with two hands. And I don't have, like, the biggest hands. Don't get it twisted, though. Anyway, I can dunk with two hands. That's how I did most of my dunks. 90% of all dunks in college was two hands.
How many dunks did you have in game?
The most I've had in the game was three, but I don't know how many I've had. I've had quite
that's
a few.
That's so dope.
In junior college, I led my squad in dunks. And then by the time I got to Whitewater, we had a 7-footer and a 6'8 dude. So I had to learn how to play the three.
Right.
Did you play against anybody that ended up going pro?
In high school, we played against, we were ranked second in the state and 18th in the nation. And then we played LaFonso Ellis, who went to Notre Dame and was a lottery pick for the Nuggets. Also played against Eric Anderson, who played in Indiana and played,
Magic?
For the
no.
Knicks.
No. Yeah, Nick
for Indiana and the Knicks. And then just, you know. Playing in Chicago, playing in good parks and stuff, he always played against.
I wasn't in the game when he played, but we played Cleveland Central Catholic my senior year in districts, and Earl Boykins was on that team. He started for that team. Uh-huh. And he had 33-17 on us in the first half and didn't play the second half.
Shit.
Yeah.
What's that? What's that noise?
Is that the camera?
Ooh.
Yeah, we're running out of time.
We need to get.
Yeah, we need the sound check.
Ready for the show. Just about
Al, come on, get on that organelle.
Let's finish it up.
Let's finish it
end
up.
End it up. End it. Was it? Close it up.
Close it up. Close it up.
Close it up.
Close it up.
Close it up.
Close it up.
Close it up.
Close it up.
Close it up. Hold on. Close it.
Keep going. Keep going.
I'm trying to catch it. That's all. Gotta finish up the show. We done talked for an hour and some change. Now it's time to move over, do some other things. Close up the show. Close up the show. Finish up the show. That's how it go. Gotta finish up the show.
chilling with Kevin Holmes. Al Jackson on the organelle. Where's his shirt? I can't tell. Got on the shades. Tony Trim on the drums. Big Mike in the back room. Yeah. Got my bruise. Bruised by my right hand. Closing up the show. Gotta go do some upstand. I mean, stand up.
Ooh. Yeah.
Let us all pray.
Mel,
I'm with it.
Dear God.
All right. Dear God, thank you for everything. Thank you for this food that we're about to eat. Now, right here.
Now you should be able to just do grace anytime. Do you have to do it right there with the food?
Nope.
Will you thank God for a meal? It's like, dear God, thank you for a meal. We're going to have
probably halfway between Des Moines and Chicago.
Thank you. There are people that's like that, though. They thank God for everybody. I remember one time, dude, when I was a kid, we was this couple was lost in the hood trying to get to somebody's house. And this girl in our block tried to explain it. But she couldn't do a good job explaining it, so they stopped. It's like, hold on. And then they started praying, asking for her to have the ability to give directions properly so they can get to the spot.
Wow. And isn't that like a form of narcissism, though, that like you think that God is like really interested in you getting directions with all the shit that's going on in the world?
It's someone had pulled sheets over their eyes, whatever.
Yeah.